to the Mock Stars Podcast. I am Menace, one of your hosts, and I'm here with Flash.
What is up?
What is up, dude? Welcome back, everybody. We're back from our brief break, hiatus from podcasting. 1 week off, first time, and that's our first week off in almost 3 years of doing this. Did you know that?
That seems impossible.
It's not. It's not. It's crazy. I was looking back through all the records, and we've released an episode every single week. Sometimes when I was ambitious, we released two episodes, in a single week. And so, yeah, this is the first time we took a single week off, which was crazy. But we're back. And if you'd like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. You can also support us on all major podcasting platforms by going there, leaving us a 5-star review, making us look super duper cool. And you can also support us via Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead. You can support us for $3 a month, have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. You can also support us at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier, the $5 tier, where you get a free entry into each of our bi-weekly giveaways, which we'll be doing at the end of this episode. You can also support us at the 2-liter tier, $10 a month, get two entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways, like Definitely Jeremy, Pool Boy Barry, UWP Quirt, and Aaron Becker. You can also be part of the Mock Stars Hall of Fame and the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge, like Reven Lift. Support us at the $50 a month tier. Get three entries and get a free hat. We got the Got Glarb hats, and I've got one more Niagai Gon Do hat. So got to start designing another new hat for our Mock Stars Lounge tier members, so that, yeah, you know, keep it fresh. New hats all the time, they're always changing. It's just got to be the way it is. But today, on today's episode, there are a lot of things that happened in the 2 weeks, and this is why we're sort of like the slowpoke show, because, you know, like, things are happening so quickly in Magic the Gathering that by the time we record on Thursday and release on Friday, things have happened that have caught everyone's attention, and it just pulls them away from whatever topic we even covered the day before. So, well, this is pretty fresh, but, you know, Edge of Eternities is coming out. I think the pre-release is this Friday. The day this episode releases is when the first series of pre-releases will be happening. But Wizards of the Coast could not wait, because this, like, literally just yesterday, we got spoilers for Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man set, which is coming out. There are two set codes, so I'm not quite sure if there's two sets. So there's commander sets, or there's collector thing. I don't know. But SPE and MAR, there's two symbols where there's a Spider-Man mask, and there's a spider, just like the chest emblem, as a set symbol. But we got a ton of Spider-Man spoilers yesterday. Like, let me see, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24. There's like 60. There's like 60 cards that were like revealed, probably more, just yesterday. And you get cards from all different areas of the Spider-Verse. You got Prowler from the Miles Morales line. And you have tons of, like, villains. The villain archetype is going to be very much present here. The symbiote Spawn. So I'm guessing we're going to get a Carnage eventually. But we definitely do get to see Venom today. And tons of, yeah, Hero is going to be a big thing. So all of those hero cards from Final Fantasy are going to be supported even more with this set. But yeah, this is like, if your attention was absolutely focused on Edge of Eternities and you were very excited about the set, you know, the thing is that the public spotlight has now just been shifted to Spider-Man, seeing it as, I don't know if it has been. So if you're annoyed, or if your attention has shifted from Edge of Eternities to Spider-Man because of these spoilers, let us know in the comments. But it is one of those things you see and you're just like, why do this right as a new set is about to release? Just wait a second. But they can't. They can't wait. Because the set comes out 3 weeks from now. So while it's... Oh, September 26th is the release date. So, or 4 weeks from now. So the thing is that Edge of Eternities will come out this... Or will have its pre-release this week. The official release will be next week at the beginning of August. And then... Oh, I guess it's longer. It's a little bit longer. I don't know why they did spoilers. Anyway, a little bit longer. Yep. 6 weeks with Edge of Eternities. So it's just weird that all these spoilers come out to sort of spoil the release and the launch of Edge of Eternities. But we'll talk about a couple of these cards and before we get into our main subject. But there are a couple really cool ones. Like we have Spider-Ham. Peter Porker, everyone's favorite character, John Mulaney voiced character from the most recent Spider-Man films. But Spider-Ham, Peter Porker, is a Spider-Boar hero that is a 2/2. When Spider-Ham enters, create a food token. And then an ability called Animayham. Other spiders, boars, bats, bears, birds, cats, dogs, frogs, jackals, lizards, mice, otters, rabbits, raccoons, rats, squirrels, turtles, and wolves you control get +1/+1. Do you happen to play a tribal deck or kindred deck that covers any of those types that I just listed? Congratulations, you've got a new creature lord in Spider-Ham, Peter Porker. For 1 and a green. So 2 mana, you get a farm lord. Is that I guess that's the best way to put it. Those are all animals you might find on a farm. No fox support. No cow support. Do we have cows? Ox. There's no ox in there. But yeah. It supports a lot. It supports a lot of different types of creatures. We also have Spider-Man Noir at Uncommon, a 5 mana 4/4 with Menace that whenever a creature you control attacks alone, put a +1/+1 counter on it, then surveil X, where X is the number of counters on it. So that is also very flavorful for Spider-Man Noir. Always does things alone. And then Spider-Man 2099, I think this might be the best card from this particular set symbol that we've seen, but it's a blue and a red for a 2/3 spider human hero from the future. So you can't cast Spider-Man 2099 during your first, second, or third turns of the game, but you get a 2/3 double strike vigilance at the beginning of your end step if you've played a land or cast a spell this turn from anywhere other than your hand. Spider-Man 2099 deals damage equal to his power to any target. And the artwork is super sick. But yeah, I think that does a lot. It's an incredible threat on the board as a 2/3 double strike with vigilance, and then also deals damage to any target. If you've played a land or cast a spell from anywhere other than your hand. So I think that's pretty good. Let's see. There's really flavorful things like Thwip. Thwip is a 1 mana instant in white. You have Doc Ock, Spider-Man 2099, Miguel O'Hara. So this is the mythic rare for 5 mana. When it enters, return up to 1 target creature to its owner's hand. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, draw a card. We have that with... I mean, we get that ability all the time, it seems. But we have that with the Enduring Curiosity now. And I don't... So I don't know if this will, like, really see a ton of play, because Curiosity is, like, instant. It's got flash. It's enduring. One, it's in the name. Two, it's in the ability. When it dies, it returns to the battlefield as an enchantment. So additional evasion, where Miguel O'Hara is just sort of a 4/4, you know, that has that ability. We have Venom, Eddie Brock, another mythic from the set. 4/2 black, 6/4 menace. Whenever another creature dies, just whenever another creature dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Venom. And then if that creature was a villain, you get to draw a card. So we have all of the craziest things from the comic books. Just in here, we got a masked Meower, just spider cat hero. You know, there's just all these different cool, wacky creature types. So, yeah, the Kapow is a sorcery. I feel like that should be an instant. Kapow! But I'm not designing the game, so there's that. You have Venom Unleashed at Common. This is, like, you're going to see a lot of legendary creatures at Common in this, which is... I'm not sure if that's our... We've had Common legendaries in the past, but they haven't been very good. But this is like, this is a lot. This is a lot of commons. Let's see. Venom Blast. 2/2 green. Rare sorcery. Put +1/+1 counters on target creature you control. It deals damage equal to its power up to one other target creature. This set seems weak. I'm just going to say it right now. After reading that as being a rare, this set seems really, really weak. I felt like that should have done more for 4 mana. But you know what? I'm not designing the game. So I can't really say a lot. I'm just hoping that the Green Goblin is a depiction of Willem Dafoe. Like, that's all that we can hope and ever want is a Willem Dafoe magic card. Yeah?
If only.
There's going to be lizard men and the goblins will be present, but I wonder if they'll actually be goblins. Like, that'd be so sick if they're actually goblins and they would fit into so many new types of decks and, yeah. Good stuff, but let's see. Oh, they are. So the Green Goblin Nemesis, this was spoiled a long time ago. This is part of the showcase things, but yeah, it's a goblin human villain. Sick. They're going to fit right in. All right, yeah. Spider-Man's getting spoiled, and I can't really muster the excitement necessary that, you know, like, I think this set would have been way cooler 2 years ago, maybe before we were so worn out by Universes Beyond stuff or all these different IPs sort of being jammed into our lives. This one is being rushed, like, full on. It is being rushed into production. It looks weak. Like, the cards, I'm sure there'll be a couple cards from the set that are powerful that you'll want to play with, but right now all of these cards, sure, the artwork's cool, sure, the flavor is going to be there. The flavor text, I'm sure, is going to have plenty of tasty little bits in there, Easter eggs and whatnot. But yeah, right now, man, I'm just having a tough time buying into it. It just, everything I read seems like a weak card. Like, there are so many better options just off the top of the dome. So, yeah, we'll see. All right. Spider-Man's a thing. It's coming to you September 26th. It'll be in your focus for the next few weeks as and Edge of Eternities as well, getting its 24-hour early access for content creators right now, like as we were recording, they're getting 24 hours access. So you're going to be seeing tons of Edge of Eternity's arena content coming up very soon. And yeah, tons of Magic stuff not even just in your main focus, but in your periphery as well. There's just a lot going on. And if you haven't gotten your Sonic the Hedgehog secret lair, let's see if some of those are still available. They didn't sell out of those, and it looks like they still have some. So let's see. They have the legendary Sonic and Friends in foil still available at the time of this recording. Everything else is sold out, but the mechanically unique creatures that are being released in this secret lair drop are still available in foil and non-foil. So get out there, go and get yours. I heard they're shipping already, and they're already being delivered. Some people, I've seen Chaos Emeralds being shown on Reddit. So get out there, get your chance to get a Lotus Petal in a more than, I don't know, it's just too expensive. The Chaos Emeralds are going for like a couple hundred dollars. So give yourself a chance. Pull a $200 card. So this last week, when we took a break, I went back to my hometown and spent a lot of time there, played some Magic, had a great time, got to like sort of get back to the roots a little bit and wander through the Driftless area of Wisconsin. But while I was there, and this has just kind of been a building emotion for a long time now, is just, you know, this exhaustion that we get from all these new cards and commanders that we get, you know, in Magic every couple weeks or every couple months. But it's hard to keep up with. It's a really hard thing to like keep pace with, because you build something and then, or even if you bought the precons, like I will say being back home and playing Magic, that precon, the Bant precon from Final Fantasy, that thing rips, dude. Like, I was kind of surprised, but I wanted to play that more than I wanted to play like CDH or high power decks or whatever. It was so much, it's like actually a good deck, and it's fun, and it all fits and works together. The best part is when you get Titus, however you want to pronounce it, onto the battlefield, and you have a Saga creature, you just keep pulling the lore counter off of it with his ability and putting it on a normal creature, and then you just keep repeating the ability. I gotta say, they did a good job with that deck. I thought it was a lot of fun to play. But here's the thing. I played it, right? I played it like 4 or 5 times. And there are new commander decks, or there are new cards coming out this next week. And so Final Fantasy's that old shit already. Nobody is like paying attention to Final Fantasy anymore. Like, you might go out and you might, like, a lot of stores I've been seeing are getting restocked with Final Fantasy product, but it's like, people aren't going to be dropping $1,000 anymore on Final Fantasy product. They're going to be dropping all that money on Edge of Eternities to get the new cards and whatever as the hype continues to move forward. But just, I like, and the thing for me was that I have been playing for such a long time. Like, and Flash, you've been playing for a long time too. Back, you know, you used to play Modern and Constructed more than Commander. But the cards that I used to play just like fell out of frame, like decks that I had built and then moved on from. And then we got into CDH, and then suddenly things just weren't viable anymore. And so you didn't look at them as much. But I remember back in the day, I had a dinosaur deck. It was one of my first commander decks ever built. I built, it was the second deck I ever built. The first deck I ever built was Hypatra. Love that deck to no end. It's super awesome. But then I built a Marith, Will of the Wild. If you are unfamiliar, it is from Commander 2013. But it was right around the time that Ixalan came out, all the new dinosaurs were present and available. And so one of the mechanics, and this was actually shown to me by a friend in Alaska who, when I was out there and playing, he had already sort of built the deck and thought it was a lot of fun. But if you Marith Will of the Wild, green, or it's red, green, white, Naya. Perfect. It's the perfect card because it's Naya. And Naya guy is going to do. But it's a 0/0 Marith Will of the Wild enters the battlefield with a number of +1/+1 counters on it equal to the number of mana spent to cast it. So every time you cast it, this is really great design for commanders, because it's going to enter with three counters on it when you cast it the first time. After the tax is added, you're going to enter with five counters, and then when it leaves, you're going to enter with seven counters, blah blah blah. It gets better and better. And then you can pay X and then remove X +1/+1 counters from Marith and choose one. Put X +1/+1 counters on target creature, or Marith deals X damage to target creature or player. In the errata, it says any target. Or put an XX green elemental creature token onto the battlefield. So there's also a slight errata with these as it's been gone through time, but X cannot be zero. Otherwise, certain effects like heroic, whenever something, a creature becomes a target of an ability you control, you get to this benefit. But Marith now makes it so that you have to pay more than zero. So the card's awesome. There are a lot of really cool things. There are some combos that go along with it, as I'm sure you can imagine, whenever you have an ability that's X and as open-ended as that. There's a couple like combo lines with like Cryptic Trilobite, which is a commander card from 2020. This is literally from the decks. And it's XX, colorless creature, not an artifact creature, just a colorless creature, Trilobite. When it enters the battlefield with two or with X +1/+1 counters on it. So it's, yeah, it costs XX. Remove a counter from it, +1/+1 counter from it. Add two colorless. Spend this mana only to activate abilities. And then you can pay one, tap, put a +1/+1 counter on Cryptic Trilobite. So there are a few things you can do. Whenever something enters with an additional counter, you can do different things. Like with Marith, you can remove the counter from Cryptic Trilobite and then add two colorless mana. And then you can use Marith's ability to remove a counter and then put a counter on Cryptic Trilobite, and then it'll gain two. And then you just keep sort of like feeding into the two of them. And then eventually you can make Cryptic Trilobite massively big, make Marith massively big, and then remove all the counters and deal that much damage to any target. So you zap a player out of the game. So yeah, Cryptic Trilobite was a CDH like combo thing with Marith in the early, like once it came out, it sort of like reinvigorated Marith. And so like the deck sort of came back, but it wasn't ever anything like Tribal or Kindred or anything like that. So I put it in here as like a side quest item, like, hey, if I run into the combo and I can do it, sweet. All games need to end, but I had built the deck around Enrage way back in the day, and it was really good, and it was a ton of fun. And that's like really where I'm trying to get back to, like with Magic, is a lot of new stuff. You aren't given the time to really enjoy it or build it or grow it, because the expectation is that when it comes out and you play it a few times, there's already something new coming out. So you get excited about that and you want to build that next thing. So a lot of commanders and a lot of cards that have been released in recent times are just forgotten or left to the wayside. And this wasn't a deck that I wanted to drop off or I wanted to like forget about. So I went back and I rebuilt it. And so today, that's what I kind of wanted to talk about. It's just like the mindset of going back and to your roots as a player, so you can really find what is special and important about to you about Magic. And, you know, it might be more than just like building a deck or more than deck construction, but, you know, it might be the community and the people that it brought together. But, you know, like I've just been struggling with deck building lately, and I just wanted to go back and really pay attention to these things that were once lost, and we still have them, so we can rebuild them. But yeah, so I mean, I built this thing all around dinosaurs. There are plenty of new dinosaurs that have come out over the years. So, you know, you have old things like my favorite. This is like one of my favorite dinosaurs of all time, but it's called Ranging Raptors. It's 2 and a green for a 2/3 with Enrage. And it says, whenever Ranging Raptors is dealt damage, you search your library for a basic land card, put it onto the battlefield tapped, and then shuffle your library. So you just keep hitting it. Every turn you hit it twice, you know, and then you get 2 lands, and that pretty much just pays for the tax on Marith as it like runs out of counters. But, you know, if it's left unattended, you just basically get to search for basically you get to search for all of your basic lands in your library and put them onto the battlefield tapped. It just gets you so much further ahead in the game than, you know, like, and it just gets out of control really quickly. So in my land base, I don't normally play a lot of basics, but I'm playing 15 basics now, and I'm playing, if there are non-basic lands there, it's only because I feel like they're somewhat necessary. It's like fetch lands, shock lands, dual lands, and then Guy's Cradle and Sarah's Sanctum. Pretty much the only stuff you need. Like, and the Sanctum and the Cradle are just there to take you over the top. So this is still technically a 3, and 2 of my game changers are lands that can be good, but are, you know, like Guy's Cradle, obviously, very good. But and Marith can spawn bodies, so Marith can sort of split itself up into little elementals. So yeah, it's great that you know, Guy's Cradle gets even greater with the commander's ability. I'm playing 2 battles. I get Invasion of Gobicon. I just think it's a really good card. It gets +1/+1 counters, and then Invasion of Ikoria. It's a really great card just to go get the dinosaurs that this deck is built around. There's a dinosaur that's old that I didn't really play before, but I think it's really good with a new card. So, it's Cacophodon. Let me say that again for you one more time. Cacophodon. It's 3 and a green for a 2/5 that has Enrage. Whenever it's dealt damage, untap target permanent. That seems good. So, you get to do things like Derevi things with Gaia's Cradle if you have enough creatures to untap it and then keep tapping it for positive mana. So I thought that was awesome. But one of the really great new cards that it works with is the Eternity Elevator. So from Edge of Eternities, the Eternity Elevator is a 5 colorless mana legendary artifact. It's a spacecraft as well, but you can tap it for 3 colorless mana. Or if you happen to station it with 20+ power, so it gets 20+ charge counters, you get to add X mana of any one color, where X is the number of charge counters on the Eternity Elevator. So once you get to 20, you start tapping for 20. And then with the Cacophodon, it just goes nutty. It gets insane when you're just like, yeah, I will hit it for, I'll use Marith's ability, ping it for 1, untap the Eternity Elevator. I'll tap it for 20 red, and I'll use one of those red to remove a counter and untap it, and tap for white and tap for green. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I'll cast Marith 1,000,000 times, and then it generates infinite mana, infinite casting, and then you win the game, because then you can just zap everybody with Marith's ability. So I thought that was like, it is a walk. You definitely have to get 20+ charge counters on it. But when you get there, and I hope that when you do get there, you're able to win the game. But it feels like the Eternity Elevator, if you're looking at cards to spec on for Edge of Eternities, This one feels like it goes in every non-CDH deck, just full stop. I think it, like, Gilded Lotus used to be that thing where it's like 5 mana, it enters, you can tap for 3 of any one color or whatever. This taps for 3 colorless right away, so it sort of almost pays itself back, just, and then you can just continue stationing it turn after turn. If you want, if you really want to be kooky with the station ability, by the way, I just thought about this, but you can food chain. If you food chain Squee or, you know, this Eternal Scourge or whatever, every time you exile it and recast it, you can tap it to station and continue building those counters. So food chain technically can station all things infinitely if you really wanted to assemble that. Most of the time when you assemble food chain, you just win the game via your commander. But food chain can also station things infinitely. Super cool. Or any ability that can present a creature flickering infinitely will be able to do that.
Finally broke food chain.
Finally broke it. Such a good card. I don't know why it wasn't on the Game Changers list immediately. But there are so many like cool dinosaurs. I have this Enrage ability. There's a couple ways to tutor them up. Like I talked about Invasion of Ikoria, but now we have Forerunner of the Empire. This is an old card. This is also, for all you dinosaur players, pretty well known as a way to draw the game out. But 3 and a red, you get a human soldier that's a 1/3 that when it enters, you may search your library for a dinosaur and then put it on top of your library. Whenever a dinosaur enters the battlefield under your control, Forerunner of the Empire deals 1 damage to each creature. This is a great way to like wipe tokens or whatever. But notably, if you have Polyraptor on the battlefield, let me change the image. I'm using the Indominus Rex Polyraptor. And anyway, if you have Polyraptor on the field, Polyraptor is a 5/5 with Enrage that whenever it's dealt damage, create a token that's a copy of it. So this is like, this card breaks the game in a lot of ways. It's awesome. I think it's super awesome that we have a card like this. But with Forerunner of the Empire, whenever Polyraptor enters, right, it's going to be dealt damage. It's because Forerunner is going to hit each creature for 1 damage. So, boom, it's a dealt damage. It creates a copy of itself. It's a dinosaur. It's going to deal another damage. Boom. Great. Now you're getting 2 more dinosaurs. You get 2 more triggers. So Forerunner is going to trigger, dealing 1 damage to each other creature, including itself. So you do have to have a way to make it, you have to have a way to make it indestructible, or you have to have a way to, as it's dealt damage, continue growing to meet the demands for damage. So Polyraptor can, with Forerunner of the Empire, if you're able to make it big enough, or if you're able to make it indestructible, can actually result in a draw, unless you have a way to stop it, because Polyraptor's ability is not optional, and either is the Forerunner's ability when a dinosaur enters. So it's all pretty rad. But if you don't happen to have the way, it creates 8 additional Polyraptors off of it. So get the Forerunner, put the Polyraptor on top, have the Polyraptor enter, you get eight Polyraptors. Seems good. You have Ripjaw Raptor here. This is another Enrage card that whenever it is dealt damage, you draw a card. So an easy way, in a great synergy with Marith, that you just remove a counter, deal a damage to it, and you draw a card. There are even more really cool Enrage cards, like Urban Daggertooth from Modern Horizons 2. So this is new, but whenever it's dealt damage, you proliferate. And so it's like you never even removed a counter from Marith in the first place to do this. But yeah, it's just like hit it with a counter, or hit it with a damage, put that counter back on, and then any other additional counter stuff that you have, you can just keep proliferating those. Like Kami of the Whispered Hopes, whenever a counter goes on, you get an additional 1. So really, there is room for like growth and exponential growth even with Urban Daggertooth as an enraged target for Marith. And then you have Trapjaw Tyrant. This is from Rivals of Ixalan. That is, whenever it's dealt damage, exile target creature and opponent controls until Trapjaw Tyrant leaves the battlefield. So this can be something that you continuously ping with Marith to just remove creatures off the battlefield at instant speed. So it doesn't have ward. It doesn't have any way to, like, not target it for opponents, but it's, I feel like it's still a really, really good card in this deck. And then there's a new card from the Lost Caverns of Ixalan Commander decks, Wrathful Raptors, 4 and a red, 5/5. Whenever a dinosaur you control is dealt damage, it deals that much damage to any target that isn't a dinosaur. So, and it's a 5/5 trample. So the Marith thing is that you can pay X, so X doesn't have to be 1. X is just the most efficient to get your multiple enrage triggers. You can remove 3 and deal 3 damage, and then Wrathful Raptors will deal 3 damage to any other target that isn't a dinosaur. So it can be the thing that controls the board state. It's like the Brash Taunter that you always wanted for dinosaurs. It's super great. You have Itali, Primal Conqueror. We all know this. We all know Chunky. If you're listening to CDH podcasts or any sort of CDH content, if you listen to Play to Win or whatever, Itali is it's the new thing. You know, it's been out for a while and people have been sort of like building it up, but now it's figured out and it's good. It's really, really good. It's topping tournaments. It's a menace. It really does, like, as soon as it enters, the first thing you hit off of it just gives you a great chance to win the game. Like, there's so many, like, things. When I was back home, I lost to an Itali deck that, you know, just one of the first things it did was create they used a Hellkite Courser and then just pulled Itali from the command zone to the battlefield. And then you got the trigger. And the first card they revealed off the top of their deck was the new Chandra that has the Kiki Jiki ability. So the Chandra enters, you +1 it, and then you create a copy of the Hellkite Courser after sacrificing the Itali, or you create a copy of the Itali, sacrifice the original Itali, you get another trigger, and then you can just, it just kept rolling and snowballing, and the whole turn was just, it was like 30 minutes of just Itali triggers until we were like, yep, that's game. But just, it's really good. Itali, really good. Not so good in this deck. It is just here because it's a dinosaur. It doesn't have enrage. It doesn't have any of those things. But it does have the ability to get hit off of something like Gishath or get like kindred tribal bonuses off of other cards. And yeah, it casts 4 spells for free. So yes, I'm going to play it. It's a dinosaur. And then we have Silverclad Ferocidons. Now this is a dinosaur. This is 5 and 2 red for an 8/5 enrage that says whenever it's dealt damage, each opponent sacrifices a permanent. I feel like no one plays this card. And it's super,
I've never heard of it.
It's super disgusting. And in this build, it's super disgusting. But yeah, it's a rare from Rivals of Ixalan. And yeah, I feel like if you get this out and you're able to set up the Marith thing, there is no stopping you from taking over the game. Just every little ping becomes like you just take a turn of advantage. It's like you're time walking your opponents. The flavor text. Control them? No. I gird them in armor and let them loose. Yeah. Super sick. And then you got Gishath and you have Polyraptor as the top end. Sorceries, Finale of Devastation, Winds of Abandon, Eldritch Evolution, Instance, Final Showdown, and then just sort of like a myriad of other things. Spikefield Hazard for the Enrage trigger, removal, probably could use a little bit more removal. Artifacts, Soul Ring, Arcane Signet, Eternity Elevator, and then the enchantments. There's a few things. The reason that I really wanted to rebuild Marith was because of Edge of Eternities. I actually don't want to forget about Edge of Eternities, so I'm going to ignore Spider-Man for a while. But there's a new card that just makes Marith go crazy, because Terra Symbiosis is a 2 and a green enchantment that whenever you put 1 or more +1/+1 counters on a creature you control, You may draw that many cards. Do this only once each turn. Every time you cast Marith, the first time, if Terra Symbiosis is out, you're going to spend 3 mana. It's going to enter with 3 counters. You're going to draw 3 cards. Just for casting your commander. That seems good. And then the next time, it's 5 mana. The next time, it's 7 mana. You can pay chunks of... like, you can pay chunks of mana to remove counters from Marith to put counters on other things to draw that many cards. I think Terra Symbiosis is going to be a really good card. It's already being speculated pretty as a pretty good card at $23 for the borderless foil. Growing Rites of Itlamok, another really great card that has been forgotten about but deserves to be played. Mana Echoes here. Marith can split itself up, creating additional elementals. And so Mana Echoes can actually create quite a bit of mana as you decide to like pay and split Marith up to create more and more colorless mana. So I think it's a really great inclusion. And the card has crept up. When it was reprinted in Double Masters, it was down to like $10. It's back up to like $30+. So some people are playing it. I haven't seen it in so long, so... some people are playing it. And then land package. Super simple. Like I was talking about before. Just a bunch of basics to help take care... or like to help really prepare with like ranging raptors. Really focusing on that line. And then just mana dorks. Enchantment stuff. You know. The works. I have to have some sort of enchantress build here. Luca is my sole planeswalker. Yeah. The deck looks like fun. I can't wait to build it. I can't wait to play it. I just can't wait to like be sitting at a table of, you know, threes and have this level of deck there to be able to like just give myself a chance. I think that's where my head's at with deck building, where it's like I'm not competitive at the moment, or I'm not as CDH focused as I was in the past. I just want to sit at a table and give myself a chance. Like, I want to build a deck that gives myself a chance to win the game. So, not necessarily be competitive. But while I was home, I also was digging through my closet. You know, and my dad, as I've grown and aged and things, he collected all of the things that I might want to come back for in my closet. And so, when I got home and set my suitcase down, I immediately went up to the closet to see what was still up there. And I was digging through and I found a playmat. An old playmat that I was like, what the heck is this? And I unrolled it. And it was a playmat that was gifted to me by one of our old mutual friends. His name's Rusty. Old Rusty. Rusty's awesome. Hi, Rusty, if you're listening to this. But I found this playmat and it's of Kadena, Slinking Sorcerer. This is from 2019. This is one of the commander decks. It was one of the... it was... so Kadena, if you're unfamiliar, let me pull it up on Scryfall, is a Sultai commander from Commander 2019. And it says that the first face-down creature spell you cast each turn costs 3 less to cast. And then whenever a face-down creature enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. So it has a lot of potential. And it allows you to cast the first thing. And this was like, at the time, Animar was like a really popular CDH deck. That was like the Morph commander. And Kadena was like support for Morph, but it wasn't teamer, so it couldn't really compete with Animar. But it does draw a card whenever a face-down creature enters. And so I saw this and I was just like brought back down memory lane because this one, you know, it's like this is a playmat that I really like. I think the artwork is super cool. It's very reminiscent of the old magic ways. But then I just remembered how strong that card could be. And in 2020, I think, or 2021 maybe, but this is when we first started getting into CDH first, you know. And now it's 2022 is when we first started getting into CDH, and we're at our first tournament over at Gabby's, And I remember someone saying, yeah, I'm playing Kadena. And then I looked through their list and I was like, oh man, yeah, this has a lot of like the morph stuff, has a lot of like the face down, you know, like transform, or you flip it over and you get an effect when it's flipped over type cards. And I was like, how strong could this be? And they didn't do terribly. And then I was curious. I was like, well, if that person put it together and they thought it could be competitive, who else is potentially playing this? So I looked up Kadena, and the last year, with 60 plus players at an event, this guy, Roy Raji, at a tournament for 129 players, got second place. And I was like, oh, so somebody's seeing the matrix here on Kadena, like that it still has, like there's still a lot of potential here. So I'm definitely going to rebuild this deck, but I do think that it's like, it's funny that the going back to, you know, like appreciating Magic from when I was younger, when I still had a lot of curiosity in the game and still learning a lot of the things, and cards weren't just coming out all the time. Kadena was one of those initial curiosities. So I definitely want to rebuild it, because there's a lot of new stuff that came out that is helpful and supports like what the deck wants to do. Like, I don't know, Manifesting Dread. Like, I looked at the list and like, From Duskmourn, there's so many cards like Hauntwood's Shrieker. It's a 3-mana mythic green beast mutant that says whenever this creature attacks, Manifest Dread. And then Manifest Dread is look at the top two cards of your library, put one onto the battlefield face down as a 2/2 creature and the other one into your graveyard. If it's a creature, you can turn it up at any time for its mana cost. You can also pay one in a green, reveal target face down permanent. If it's a creature card, you may turn it face up. So it can, it can shortcut the morph cost. So it can flip up a lot of things. I see the utility here now, but it's like, you can flip up things that have counter spells attached to them, or like Kadena's Silencer, which is one in a blue. Whenever this creature is turned face up, counter all abilities your opponents control. So it can just, yeah, wipe the stack of any abilities that are on the stack. So there are so many little like morph abilities that add up and become valuable and add to like your card advantage and stuff like that. You can even play High Fate Trickster, and then whenever you morph or mega morph or whatever, Kadena just makes it so that everything costs 3 less. So if you have High Fate Trickster out, you can just put your cards face down from your hand onto the battlefield for free and draw a card. Most every card in the deck replaces itself in some way. So I thought the build, even though it's almost a year old now, is still really relevant, like, and still pretty darn good. But I thought it was cool to see that Kadena, an old school thing that, you know, harkened back to when we were still very curious about Magic, could still thrive. As long, you know, it just goes to show you the power of what once was, and how these cards can still be supported today, even though we don't really look at them directly. I thought that Abhorrent Oculus would be a great card for it. Just, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. The card is being seen all over different formats, but this is like, it's 2 and a blue for a 5/5 flying. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, you manifest Dread. So with Kadena, it's as it goes around the table, at every opponent's upkeep, you're going to draw a card because you manifest Dread. So I think the card is going to be a lot of fun to build. It's going to be a lot of fun to build around. It's going to make me think of Rusty. Like, that's the big...
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. And, I'm going to play this... I'm going to be using this playmat more often now, because it's, you know, it's a cherished gift from a friend. So, those are my thoughts on going backward, being just sort of, I don't know, it's not being nostalgic, but it's just maybe it is nostalgia. But I'm not going to let it be fleeting more than anything. I want to build these decks and hold on to them and play them when I, you know, want to have fun.
have fun playing Magic. That's when I'll play these decks. So all the time. I'm going to play them all the time. Anyway.
Ideally, right?
Yeah. Flash, do you have any thoughts or old decks that you've thought about recently?
I haven't. But I understand the perspective you're bringing for that.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to lose my interest in the game because Wizards of the Coast is so rapidly producing new products. So this is how I'm figuring it out, how the game is working for me right now. So, on that note, I think we've reached the end of the episode. It was a good one. I had like, I really miss Marith and I really miss Kadena, so I'm going to build both those decks and I'll make sure to keep you guys updated and put some lists up on the Discord server. But thank you all for listening. Thank you all for coming back to the Mock Stars podcast. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by finding us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. We're 562 subscribers, almost at 600 mark. And you know how it is. Once you hit 600, you immediately jump to 1,000. There's no 7, 8, 9. It's just 6, 1,000. You can also support us on all major podcasting platforms and all minor ones as well. Pretty much every podcasting platform. Where you can leave us a 5-star review to make us look super cool and help new people find the show. You can also support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead. For $3 a month, support the show. Have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. You can also support us at the $5 Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier, like maybe Anthony, Mono Greg, Jacob Hibbard, Tommy Cypher, K Mr. K, and Will Rule. Get an entry into each of our bi-weekly giveaways, which we'll be doing just after this. You know, support us at the 2-liter tier, $10 a month, get 2 entries, and then support us like Ravenlift and the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge, get 3 entries and a free hat every single month. All right. That's it. Any Don Cheadle related news?
No James Marsden stuff either.
Mm. Yeah. They're staying quiet. But you know who's not staying quiet? Adam Sandler. Happy Gilmore coming out on the day this episode releases. Happy Gilmore 2. Get out there. Check it out. They even got Shooter McGavin back. All right. This has been the Mock Stars Podcast. We're out of here. Peace.
Bye.
All right. If you made it to this part of the episode, you know what it is. It's the bi-weekly giveaway. And this time we're spinning the wheel for a Got Glarb hat and a set of tokens. So let's go ahead and get right to it. Shuffle it up 1, 2, and 3 times. Spin that wheel, baby. The old Wheel of Fortune. Let's see who wins. It's Pool Boy Barry. Congratulations, Pool Boy Barry. I'll be in touch shortly, get you your Glarb hat in the mail, and that set of tokens. Thank you all for participating. Thank you all for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. We really do. And we'll catch you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper and Don Cheadle and our backup plan, James Marsden. Have a good one. Peace.